Hi, I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. On today's show, if you're acquiring more and more stuff in your life and finding it hard to give up items you no longer need, there may be an emotional component to the clutter that surrounds you. In part two of our interview with Dr. Robin Zazio, a clinical psychologist familiar to many from the TV show Hoarders, we talk about the psychology of clutter and what it takes to let go. Plus, here to introduce us to a wide range of fall vegetables and their healthful benefits is Joan Rogas, a registered dietitian in Central New York. Joan also maintains a private practice in Syracuse.
But first, call your primary care physician's office and you'll hear this message. If this is a true medical emergency, please hang up and dial 911. Situations that used to land us in the doctor's office are now being handled by hospital emergency rooms and standalone urgent care clinics. What's the difference between the two, and what type of injury or illness is best handled in the ER?
Our next guest is an emergency department insider who'll explain what you need to know before your next visit. Welcome back to Take Care, Dr. Wen.
Thank you again for having me.
The landscape seems to have changed over the years when it comes to medical emergencies. At one time, your primary care physician might have been able to see you in the office and help evaluate your condition. They might even have met you in the ER after office hours if you wound up there. But things have changed. As Linda mentioned earlier, there's a recording when you're on hold urging you to go to the emergency room if it's a true medical emergency. And now there's an actual medical specialty in emergency medicine. Can you give us a quick overview of how emergency rooms have changed over the years, how it might affect us as patients?
What you said is entirely correct, that emergency medicine and emergency rooms have changed dramatically. 40 years or so ago, it used to be that the ER was literally a room that nobody wanted to go. Patients didn't want to go because they thought they would get poor care there, and doctors didn't want to go. It was a place where patients were triaged. They were determined to either have a surgical issue, a medical issue, a neurological issue, and that's basically all that happened there. As a result, there were a number of protocols that were put in place to expedite care, because usually it was nurses who ran the emergency rooms. Now, though, there have been significant changes because people have recognized that special skills are needed both from the doctor side and from the nursing side. So emergency medicine is now a board certification that's required, and it's a 4-year residency training such that the doctors who are working in most emergency departments around the country have specific training in emergency medicine, in resuscitation, in acute care patients, and so forth. It also now is the modern home of diagnosis, so that it's not just triage that happens in ERs, but actual diagnosis as well. And so I do think that emergency medicine has evolved a lot, and the patient experience is now much more valued in emergency care than it previously was.
How is the patient experience different? It still is probably a place, although it's not one room, that you really don't want to go to. It's still hectic, and of course, because there are emergencies there, well understood, and there's a long wait time. How has it changed from the patient's point of view? Are you saying that it's just better care from more qualified people?
It is better care. It's also more expedited care as well. There are triage protocols at every single emergency room and emergency department across the country, such that if you have an acute illness, if it's determined that you have an acute illness from the moment you walk in the door, you would be seen immediately. The wait times have also significantly decreased because there is a lot more focus on how can we make care patient-centered? How can we make patients and families feel valued and cared for in the time of great need?
Let's take a step back and talk about the urgent cares that have popped up, because many people have seen them in their own communities. And I wonder if you could just give us a little background. Who staffs these urgent cares, and when would it be appropriate to go there rather than the emergency room?
Unfortunately, the answer is quite complicated because there are urgent care centers and then there are urgent care centers. Some urgent care centers are associated with a primary care office. For example, your own primary care doctor may have an after-hours urgent care center. I'd say that those are, if you can go to one, these are the best possible places to go, because you will go to someone who is associated with your regular doctor and will know your medical history. They know your history, they know your insurance, they know other parts of your care so well. There are also urgent care centers that are associated with major hospitals. These are part of emergency rooms, or they may even be a section of an emergency room itself. I'd say that these are your second best bet if something like that is available, because if you do have a major emergency, and it's difficult sometimes for patients to tell themselves whether it's something emergent or not, if you have a major emergency, then they can refer you immediately to the ER or to the main hospital. The third type is a freestanding urgent care center that's not associated with your regular doctor and not associated with the hospital. I'm not saying never go to an urgent care center like that, but rather be careful. Some of them are not staffed by board-certified doctors trained in emergency care or primary care, and some of them may not have the association needed with your primary care doctor or with the hospital to expedite your care.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Reff.
And we're talking with Dr. Lena Wen, who is an attending emergency physician and director of patient-centered care research at George Washington University. Dr. Wen, you were talking about the differences between the ER and urgent care. How do we, outside of a facility, know what levels of care and urgent care will provide? And how do we make the decision whether or not we should be calling 911, going to the ER, or going to urgent care?
If I could say the answer to that question, then we wouldn't even need doctors anymore. No, it is a very difficult thing to determine whether you have a true emergency that requires care right now or care that could wait for your regular doctor or something else. I'd say that there are a couple things to keep in mind. The first is that there are a few things that are critical, absolutely critical. These things would be chest pain and stroke-like symptoms. In medicine, we say that time is muscle and time is brain, because these are the things that time is of absolute essence. So if you have chest pain, difficulty breathing, numbness in your arm, weakness in your arm, difficulty speaking, difficulty seeing, these are symptoms of heart attack or stroke, and you should definitely go to the emergency room at that time. If you have another symptom and you are relatively well, even if you feel ill, but you are a relatively healthy person, then likely you can wait longer. You can call your primary care doctor, call the coverage person, and get their advice. If, on the other hand, though, you are someone who is not particularly well, if you have a lot of other medical problems, if you're elderly, or if you're caring for someone who is chronically ill, then you should have a lower threshold for going to the ER, because you are likely to get sicker sooner. So I don't know if that helps at all in terms of addressing what you should do and when you should do it, but that's the rule of thumb to keep in mind.
How can you prepare for an ER visit, and what can you expect when you walk into the ER?
How to prepare? Three key things. The first is to make sure to bring someone with you. If you're sick enough to go to the ER, you're probably not feeling well. So having someone else there who can serve as your advocate is really important, because they can remind you of things that you left out. They can help ask questions when you feel too ill. And so it's really important to bring someone with you. The second is to bring your medical history and your medications. Don't assume that your doctor who has not met you in the ER is going to know your past medical history. Perhaps they'll have your primary care records, perhaps they won't. So bring the actual bottles of medications with you and write down in advance. You should have a card of your allergies, of your known medical problems. Have that with you so that you can bring it to the doctor and make sure they have it. The third and very important thing is to write down your story of your illness and practice that in advance. Know that your doctor in the ER is going to have limited time with you. So start with a high-impact statement, something like, I was so short of breath that I couldn't walk from my bed to the bathroom. That's really important for getting the doctor's attention. And write down elements of your story and practice it with your loved one in advance, if at all possible.
Dr. Wen, when you mentioned that we should have a list of medications we're taking and allergies, It reminds me that now with smartphones, you have the ability to actually put it right in your phone. I've just started using the notes. So you can keep all of that history there. And there must be other technological advances that have changed medicine, of course, we know. But what about in the emergency room in particular, from the doctor's end? What role does technology play?
Technology plays at least three different roles that are new or changing. The first is that we do have access to a lot more tests than we ever had before, which you would think is a good thing, and in some ways it is, because it expedites care and we're able to find out more information than ever before. But that also makes doctors more likely to over-order tests. So that's something that you should ask very carefully. If a test is being recommended, make sure to ask, what is it for? How is it going to change management? And also what the risks of the testing will be, because every single test does have risks. The second thing is that doctors do have your medical records more so than before. So they likely will have a record of your past illnesses and medications. But don't assume just because they have some of it that they have the most up-to-date information. You should still be the person in charge of your own medical records and your own medical history as much as possible. The third thing I just want to touch upon briefly is that there are some applications now where you can reach your doctor by smartphone or iPhone or iPad or something like that. And I'd say be careful. If it is your own doctor, then absolutely use that application and you can communicate with your own doctor. If it's a doctor who's never seen you before and you're reaching them for the first time virtually, they may not have the training and they may not have the experience to know your symptoms. And so just be careful when reaching someone and asking for advice, either by phone or email or virtually, that you haven't met before.
Dr. Wen, we have about 30 seconds, so I'll have to ask you to keep your answer brief. But taking an ambulance versus walking into the ER, I know many of us, we're faced with what may be an acute incident, and we debate whether or not to call 911. Is there a big difference?
Call 911. If you have an acute illness, if you think you're very ill, do not delay by walking into the ER yourself.
Dr. Lena Wen is an attending emergency room physician and director of patient-centered care research at George Washington University and the author of When Doctors Don't Listen, How to Avoid Misdiagnoses and Unnecessary Tests.
Thank you.
For more information on emergency room basics and Dr. Lena Wen, visit the Take Care webpage at wrvo.org/takecare. Podcasts of our show are available on iTunes and the WRVO website.
Coming up, too much clutter in your life? It may not be poor housekeeping, but an inability to let go of the past. We'll talk with an expert about the psychology of clutter. You're listening to Take Care on WRVO Public Media.